town that are fucking today. So I'm just plugging everyone into the queue and like.
Pam, do we have anybody on Zoom by chance?
We do, Sarah Palmer and Carrie Sandham.
Okay, great. So, Carrie and Karen, hello?
Sarah.
Or excuse me, Sarah? All right, I'd like to also, I know you all are eating, but Natalia is here as representative from the student assembly today. And we have Boris and Sean from Cornell Sun. So Sean's going to be covering the employee assembly, I guess, through this academic year. Is that correct, Sean?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, welcome. Gina will be here in just a minute, but I'd like to go ahead, if there's no dissent, to approve the minutes from our last meeting.
I think there's an error in this. Is S. Vaccaro still a part of the membership?
I'm sorry?
Shelly Vaccaro?
Yeah. It's-
I thought she's not on it. She's out.
I'm sorry, what? Yes, she's here.
She's no longer on the EA. Yep.
So then, correction on that.
Yeah, so I think that there's an error in the membership.
Okay, so we will have a correction on the for Sherry Vaccaro, who was identified in the previous minutes. And at this point, we'll go ahead and go into business of the day. Kevin, I believe you have a motion.
Yeah. So, because at the retreat that we had and we were discussing the merging of committees, that there were some people that weren't there for the discussion. So, you know, once we're starting to make something permanent, you know, going from 10 committees to 7, I felt that we needed to hear from everybody that weren't at the retreat. Being said, our legislative session has started, and I'm just afraid that we're going to be wasting valuable time trying to figure this out with debate and everything. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to make a motion for Article 5. And that is in our bylaws is the suspension of a bylaw. So my motion is to suspend Article 3, Sections 3.3 and 3.4 for a period of one legislative session and to use this time to assess the continuity of merging the committees which were proposed by the attendees at the 2018 retreat. This will provide the employee assembly the time to see how merging the committees will work or won't work. It also will prevent making multiple amendments to our bylaws. So figure it out as a little test session. Do I have a second?
Did everybody understand the motion? Yes, Laura?
I was second.
Okay, are there any questions about the motion? Yes, okay.
So the portions of the bylaws that you're suspending.
I'm sorry, hold on here.
In just layman's terms.
Layman's terms?
Yeah, the whole thing in layman's terms.
Sections 3.3 and 3.4 are very specific on the committees.
Okay.
So what we're doing is we're just suspending those committees to that are part of the bylaws so that we can see how the other committees, when we merge them, will work.
So we're going to suspend those portions of the bylaws, merge the committees, and just go with it for a while. But we have to suspend these portions.
Yeah, for one session.
And how long is a legislative session?
It's from...
Until June.
Until June.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way,
it allows us to give a trial period.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep. So there was a second on the floor. Another question.
Good question. By suspending it, you said it's real specific in terms of it lays out in these particular areas what the committee makeup is?
Right. It's the committee or the bylaws state the 10 committees.
Okay.
And what they are and what their charge is.
Okay.
And so, because the one section, standing committees, unless otherwise specified by its charge, each committee will be chaired, blah, blah, blah. Six members, five members, so it's very specific on what these are. And that's pretty much what it was to just temporarily suspend all the requirements so that we can actually try what we did with the retreat.
Chris?
I like the idea, right off the top of my head, and I don't feel sometimes mentally quick enough to like follow through all the repercussions. What are some of the, what's the potential downside? Like, I can't think of any negatives, but I'd like to hear if anyone has thought of any.
I mean, the only potential downside that I see right now solely deals with the bylaws is us changing it to seven committees, and then we have to then do another, if it doesn't work, then we have to go and amend it back to the old way. So this is just so that we don't have to go through the bylaws.
The operations of each of these committees won't change in the interim based on suspending that.
No.
Operationally, the only functions that would change is that some of the roles of the committees are going to be expanded a little bit. So there was a second on the floor. In terms of bringing this to a vote, I think I'd like to move to question. Okay, second. All right, so we will vote on this motion that Kevin has brought forward to suspend the bylaws and give us the opportunity during this one session until June of next year to test our seven new committees and move things forward. So if I could see vote, please. Yeah, all in favor?
I'll calculate. We have Carrie and Karen online.
Okay, so. Great. Thank you very much. And there were no opposed. So the motion passes. So at this point, just for clarification for everybody, we now have the Communications and Awards Committee, the Education Committee, the Elections Committee, the Employee Welfare Committee, Transportation Committee, the University Benefits and Policy Committee, and the Executive Committee. So at this point, I'd like to turn it over to Pilar.
So everyone should have received, I believe, right, Pam, they get the notification email once I was plugging everyone into the, they don't anymore?
No.
Oh, you did not receive a notification email.
The system, we're working with our tech team and CIT to get that.
Okay, so I did plug you all into the committees that you had voiced an interest in the retreat from that document that we have up in the shared documents. So everyone has been plugged into at least one of the committees. Some of you are now doubled up. We still are missing chairs. So at the moment, for all of you, we are missing a chair for the Education Committee. We're missing a chair for the Employee Welfare Committee, and we are missing a chair for the Benefits and Policy Committee. At the moment, the Education Committee has Andrew Books, Chris Dawson, Arla Hurrigan, Marcy Benda, and Steve Ding and Karen Leparco. Out of all of you, anyone interested in being the chair of the Education Committee, please speak now or I'll speak for you. No. Andy, I know you've mentioned some interest possibly.
I thought that was you that mentioned that.
I know Arla actually had been thinking about it. If there is anyone else, I know she's not here right now, we can double back with her. No one else in the committee that I just mentioned, are you interested in chairing, anyone? Okay, so I'll speak to Arla and then someone in the group, you guys will, you'll have to speak up, guys. Employee Welfare, we have Bruce, Hey Hey, Kate, Andrea, and Adam that are in there, and we're missing a chair for the Employee Welfare Committee. Anyone in that group?
I would like to. I was going to say nominate Adam. I know Adam.
Andrea.
No, if you want to nominate Adam, that's fine. I was just raising my hand in the event of
non-nomination.
Yeah.
Is Adam here?
Adam's not here.
Oh, we can't really force Adam when he's not here.
Fair enough.
Talk to Adam about it.
Can you connect with
Adam? I will connect with Adam and.
Thank you.
One
and
of
then
us.
Let me know.
Yes, one of us will chair.
Okay. And then we have the benefits And Policy Committee, we have David, Tarek, Ann, Laura, Kevin, Karen, and Ellen. Again, same thing. Who wants to chair? Who's really interested in benefits and policy?
Don't look at me like that.
Tarek, you were pretty keen on some points of discussion that you wanted to bring up. This might be a really good opportunity.
Okay.
Yay, got one down.
Thank you, Tarek.
Thank you, Tarek. I appreciate that. If you have any other interest in possible committees, please contact me and I can add you accordingly. And we'll go from there. Yes.
Hi, I have a question about how the committees are represented on the website. So there's name, net ID, and then membership type role.
Right.
Who manages this?
So I've been playing with what I put on there, voting member from the EA, or then if once we have the chairs, I can shift that. But mainly Pam and the OA have access to that sort of structure, and what had been in place had been housed by, you know, kind of manned by them, staffed by them, I should say.
So maybe my ask is that we review EA membership in the website, because I think there are multiple people that are listed that aren't a member of the EA anymore.
Pam and I have had that discussion actually even this morning about some of the things that need to be cleaned out and taken out. The view screens that I have, there are notations for individuals that are inactive as of a certain date. I don't know if that's the same from the public.
Our sitting chair is inactive.
Right. So
I can clarify some of that for you. Sorry, let me shoot down. So at present, all of the membership that was from the previous year was moved over into the current year because it populates the LIRIS listserv so that the chairs of the committee could reach out to past members via the listserv to confirm or whether or not they'd like to continue on or not. Once the confirmation has happened, we'll clean it up with the actual membership. But being as they hadn't actually seated full committees yet and staffed them, we wanted to make sure that they had the opportunity to still reach out to the people that were on their list. That can be changed however you might like it, but just to give you some context of why it presently is the way that it is. We can have it cleaned by this afternoon. That's
so
the will of the body. Right?
Do we contact, so for instance, for the transportation committee, do I contact you and, or do I do
are
it
you
myself?
The chair, Christine?
I don't know if they put, I don't know.
Yeah. Right, then you actually, you can touch bases with me. You have the ability to do all of that on your own if you'd like.
Okay.
Carrie, you have a question?
Yeah, just to confirm, sorry, making sure, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Just so I know what I should be seeing, Pilar, you said you plugged in new people to the committees, but I'm not seeing anyone new on my list. So just...
You're not going to see it yet? Hold on. It mainly, so everything I did in and I log in through membership, then Pam and the OA...
No, they don't do anything. It should go live immediately.
So I don't know.
Could you just run?
Maybe you have to log back in, log off, go back in.
I mean, I just reloaded it, but I'll try.
There's.
Kate, did you have a comment?
Would it be too much time to just run through the committees so that folks know? I mean, if they're not pulling up right on.
We do have time to do that.
Yeah. Trying to see here what comes up when I pull it up on my.
Do you mind doing a roll call on the committees?
No, on what we had from the EA or what had been left in the website, which is something different.
Yeah, it's what's left in the website is not.
What's left in the website, as Pam had mentioned, has the old people as well.
Right. And the old committee structure.
And the old committee structures,
right.
And that was left out there. So when the chairs finally do choose, they can reach out to people that have been participating to see if they want to continue, so that then the chair is able to manipulate that membership more in control and then delete and or keep whoever was wanting to stay. So that's a different thing, as it were. And then there are the ones that we had from our retreat and individuals that decided to sign in. So in theory, that I can run through. So for communications and awards, we have Carrie, Tanya, Chris, well, Chris Dawson and Chris Barth, Marcy, Andrea, Adam, Pilar. Then for the transportation, we have Christine, who is the chair, and I do see you as chair. Andy, Chris Barth, Hey Hey, Kate, and Laura. For education, we have Andy again, Chris, Arla, Marcy, Ann, and Karen. For employee welfare, we have Bruce, Hey Hey, Kate, Andrea, and Adam. And then now for the new benefits and policy, we have David, Tarek, Ann, Laura, Kevin, Karen, and Ellen.
And those are on.
Those have been plugged in.
Yeah, but these are that list.
This list was on Box, yes.
Yes, Andrea.
I've got some members of my constituency that are interested in participating in a committee level. Should I just connect that particular person? How do you want us to facilitate that for non-EA members that are interested in committee work?
They can go into the website, put in a request, as some external individuals have done. It comes up in the request. I can see it. Pam can see it. The chair should be also able to see it once we have all the chairs plugged in, which obviously we didn't until a little while ago. Then I can either approve it, and then they get added to the e-list in Tolaris, and then they would be added immediately automatically to them.
Great. So I just direct them to that EA, or the Office of the Assembly's website.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. Are there any other questions or comments on this topic? Yes, Tara.
Yes, I do have a couple of questions here. Mm-hmm. So we know we created these new committees, and I raised the question at that time, can we update the charge and when shall we do that? Because we decided there's a lot of overlap between a lot of them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to be more specific, I mean, we can move a topic from one place to another sometimes, but shall we do this as we start to meet as committees? Shall we, our first objective is to update the charge, mm-hmm. for instance, okay? And since I just signed up to be head of the committee,
that's right.
What do I, do we have a little cheat sheet of what are the expectations? So, you know, some guidelines, what do you want me to do? You know, facilitate the, like, just, it doesn't need to be long, just like a 5-bullet point.
Well, one of the things that the bylaws have, so the first thing I would
bylaws.
Do is
okay.
take a look at the bylaws, and that's that section 3.4, okay. and that gives the charges of the standing committees.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then once you do that, what I would do at this point is just take the two committees' charge, put them side by side together, mm-hmm. and then work from that list.
Okay.
That's my recommendation.
Yep.
For the charge. You know,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. And with regard to, you had a follow-on question.
Yeah, I mean, the other part of my question, what are the expectations to, like, hold the committee from the, you know, the...
The expectation is to meet every other week.
Uh-huh.
Generally, committees have met on the weeks that the EA is not meeting. The committees are expected to provide a report to the assembly, identifying what areas they are... choosing as their work priorities,
gotcha.
Bringing any issues that need further discussion from the committee itself to the assembly as a whole. And particularly as Tarek has brought up, you know, he's just now volunteered for this position. we will work with everyone together to answer questions and walk through this. And there's the expectation is not that you're an expert on day one. So,
right.
No.
You know, if you do have questions, I'd also encourage you to speak with Pam and Gina. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Pam and Gina are a wealth of information. And we also have several assembly members like Tanya and Laura that have both been on the assembly for quite a while that can also help if you have questions about procedure or guiding. Believe me, I ask a lot of questions myself as well. So yes, Ellen.
Are committee meetings open the same as like the EA meetings are open? Like can people outside of the committee attend those meetings?
That's a good question because the committees aren't advertised the same way that an employee assembly meeting is advertised. I would say that the answer is probably no in terms of the openness. But if you have folks that would like to participate, So they are closed?
No, they're open.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you have folks that would like to participate, then they're welcome to join in the conversation.
But the meetings are not publicized anywhere, though.
No, they are. So in the website, you will see, you can check committee members, you can check if the chair is using the website to its best and full capacity. It is, you upload agendas, you put your meetings, everything is on there. So anyone from the public can go into our, you know, Office of Assemblies meeting, our specific employee assembly, and they will be able to find it and go in and access. Even the agenda and the materials that committee chairs create should also be uploaded through the website.
We offer a training. So when you're ready and all the chairs, we offer a training and orientation for committee chairs to understand how to use the website, and then any historical information, whatever might be beneficial to you, you just let us know what you would like. And we can offer several sessions if there's not a common time, but we did one last, we actually did a couple last fall, but we're glad to do as many as needed. Or one-on-ones, whatever you like.
Yeah, and in case you just don't know yet, Gina and Pam's office is on the ground floor of Dave Hall.
Just so you know.
And their door is open 90% of the time, and they're always welcome to assist in, with any questions you might have. Any other questions on this specific topic? If not, okay. We're going to go ahead and move into the next part of the agenda, which is the mid-year retreat. We are not looking for decisions today, but I'd like for you all to consider the mid-year retreat, which was brought up previously, and I think it would be an opportunity for us to kind of reset our year, and looking at doing this during the intercession period, probably early in January. There's been suggestions about going to the Geneva campus for that retreat, as well as doing something here on Cornell proper. One of the considerations to keep in mind with regard to Geneva is that right now we don't have a sitting representative, but we would certainly like to have a representative from the Geneva campus here with us to participate and share issues that are important to them that fall under our umbrella and our responsibility. So as we go forward, maybe at the next meeting or two, if you have some suggestions or ideas of how we could either dates and locations that might be different than Geneva or Cornell itself, the Ithaca campus, please let Hey know, and we will start trying to get something identified on the calendar so that committees have kind of some milestones to work towards with regard to mid-year review. Are there any questions regarding that? Okay. Next, I'd like to turn it over to Carrie, who's going to talk about the president's address to staff.
Oh, yes. Hello. Okay. So the president's address to staff is, as you know, it's an annual event. And we have the date and time locked in, October 9th, noon to 1. The event typically features an address by President Pollack, or by the president, who is President Pollack, and then a Q&A. This year, we're going to be reviving an award program that has been given in previous years. So we'll have that as well. We have it in Klarman Hall. It's going to be live streamed and recorded for watching remotely and watching after the fact. We're also offering lunch to the folks who join us. So it's our big event of the year, and we hope that all of you will be able to attend, get your colleagues to attend. And so that's sort of the high priority for the communications committee at the moment, is to be doing the planning and promotion for that event. Any questions?
So Carrie, would you mind go ahead and taking us into the next part of the agenda?
Absolutely, absolutely. I sort of let the cat out of the bag on that one. I mentioned the award thing. But so this, the award that we're going to be reviving is the Staff Appreciation Award, which is typically, and I have in front of my face here, it's typically given to a group of staff in recognition of their outstanding contributions and service to the university community. So let's see, some previous winners, going back all the way to 2009, actually, Gannett for their H1N1 flu response. If anybody was around for that, I was. It wasn't fun. Let's see, first responder groups, UPD, crisis managers, EHS, and HR. The Division of Financial Affairs got it in 2011. I think it was for Qali. Is that right? I don't know. What's KFS? I'm not sure. Let's see. Facility services, the grounds team won in 2012. The Workday team, when they launched Workday in 2013. The one sort of outlier is in 2014, we gave it to David Sporton. At that point, he was outgoing. He was leaving Cornell, and so he received it that year. And the last year it was awarded was 2015, given to Kathy Zoner, NCUPD. So it's typically a group award. The awardees are recognized at the staff address, some brief remarks, and then representatives from the group come up on stage to receive a plaque. And I know we already have a couple of suggestions. Where's that list? Cornell Dining is one. Craig, remind me what the other one is.
The construction units that have done the work, particularly infrastructure on the roads through the summer.
Right. So I don't know if you want to go. Our thinking was, I don't know if the people who nominated those groups want to say a few words. We're going to do some open nominations as well, and then put it to a vote. So the award is selected by our group internally. So we'll vote on to decide who gets it this year in October.
So I'll kick off. So I was the one that nominated the Cornell Dining, and the reason for nominating Cornell Dining was a very specific time period last year when Willard Strait Hall, Cloak and Shield was not able to provide food services because of their renovation. And during that time, Cornell Dining prepared a team effort with Cornell Catering, Transportation Services, and through the Robert Purcell Dining Facility, provided all meal services uninterrupted to Willard Strait Hall. With the transportation, the movement of the food, the safe keeping of the food, trying to still cater to the students' needs on Central Campus. And so that was the thought behind that nomination. So the construction group, who was the one? Yes.
I have a question about the construction group. Are the construction teams part, like, are they Cornell employees? Like, are they part of infrastructure, or are they contracted, like, you know, through contracting companies or whatever? That's my question.
Andrea?
Well, I know it was one of those things. I think it was a recommendation of doing something different other than that to recognize formally all of the construction that's happened this summer. So that was something that this is my first day back from being on vacation post-construction. So that's something that I was interested in doing, that it's sort of, I don't know who nominated or talked about the construction being a nomination, because I think quite often there are so many different Cornell employees that are managing the construction process. They may be outside groups that are handling different things, but they're probably this summer, there must have been at least 25 to 30 large scale construction projects happening across campus with different groups of people doing different things. So it's not always Cornell folks that are doing the construction. We have our zones that work on a variety of different things, but we have people who manage different things that are happening. So
my question is, like, how do you determine who receives this award? Because there are so many different people involved.
And there's the East Ave project. That is a large scale one that was really
involved.
Maybe for simplistic sake, we nominate facilities and campus services. The umbrella that is supervising and overseeing the numerous construction projects and awarded to the from that standpoint is a nomination. Because they would be able to identify if there are any contractors and so forth. Yeah, Carrie.
Just to provide some backstory. So for those of you guys that that weren't able to attend the retreat, this came up when Mary Opperman visited the retreat, and I think she mentioned it in context of a conversation about what's a resolution, what kinds of things do we use resolutions for, and so her suggestion was to acknowledge and thank all the parties involved for the summer construction season and all the work that was done. So that sort of dovetailed when we talked about revitalizing this particular award, that it seemed like there might be some, common sense, like we would nominate them potentially. So that's how that happened.
And so again, I think the resolution versus the nomination of the award are probably two entirely different things.
Right.
And I think we might want to think about that in the context, obviously representing facilities and campus services and the large constituency that we have, but it's also unit facility personnel, and there's a number of folks that are involved in that process. So from a management of that type of thing, that's certainly one thing, large scale construction projects, but there was a number of maintenance projects that happened over the summer as well as construction projects. So I think again, it's trying to figure out where to draw the line.
Tanya?
So I would just caution us when we're thinking about construction to be careful and thinking about the whole does Cornell care thing and
Maplewood
yeah. and all of that, that I would just want to make sure that we're very specific in what we are recognizing.
Right.
If we went with the facilities.
Very valid point. Chris?
Is this reward or recognition award about something that an event that people came to the rescue, or is it, could it be about like continuity? So like as an IT person in that list, I didn't hear IT, and there's a lot of IT projects and all of us touch IT every different day. And even something I can point to like Duo, for example. Mm-hmm. Now it might've been painful. You might not like that you have to do it all the time, mm-hmm. but it's protecting your paycheck and your retirement and your enrollment and all these different things. And I can't exactly think of too many times that IT like pulled up in a van and started passing out computers, but there are times that I could imagine a recognition towards IT personnel, either unit-based or IT at Cornell, which is the bigger banner.
Sounds like that's a nomination.
Yeah. Sounds like it, Chris.
Yes.
And I think that's why we wanted to have this conversation. I'm not sure of the nomination process or how those previous winners were selected each time, but there was some, I can't remember now who mentioned it, but that the previous winners definitely seem to be in sort of like an emergency services category. And we want to acknowledge that there's a lot of staff that could be perfectly fine nominees for this award. So we don't want to be pigeonholed into any one category. I think that's a great nomination. I have one myself, but I'll save it for anybody else that wants to.
So Tarek, and then Hey, and Carrie.
So the question is, what's the award?
The award itself is a recognition on a plaque uh-huh. that's publicly presented during the president's staff address. And there's not money associated gotcha. With it. It's more just a public acknowledgement from the employee assembly to this organization on campus that has done a job well done.
Gotcha. Yeah. And the second question, can we have like, a list of nominations in this case, so we can continue every year. I mean, we don't have to nominate one person and stop. We just can't say, okay, in the order we think the five needs to be nominated, and we keep like giving them out, I guess.
Yeah, I think that
so we include everybody. You know, yeah. It's not like we're gonna forget about IT or it's like mm-hmm. okay, this year we're gonna do this. Next year we kind of decided who we want. Just the thought. So
I don't think we should decide beyond 1 year, because it feels to me like it should be a recognition of
something that just happened.
Right.
We're deciding
so you want it
now
to be fresh.
For the next 5 years. What about what happens next year?
Okay.
It's worthy to consider again, like, oh, well, remember we were thinking about IT. What with IT in the last year?
So I mean, just like to include IT maybe and say, for example, like, okay, IT are doing some stuff, so they get extra points maybe next year. Or, you know, we adjust.
So I think one thing we can go back to is what Andrew was saying about resolution. So yeah. We have had years in the past where the EA has written resolutions specific to recognize a group to just say, thank you, we notice what you're doing, it's valuable, it's critical to our work kind of thing. So I think there's more ways than this to recognize, and we should do more recognition.
Hey. Hi. So to add into the nominations, I heard back from David Heiner, who could not join us today, that he wanted to nominate Cornell Health for the Staff Recognition Award due to the amount of work that they have in support of students, and they're short staffed, and they don't have as many counselors, and their appointments are always packed. So he wanted to throw this group out also for nomination. So that makes four.
And kind of on what Tanya had mentioned earlier regarding the construction, one issue that I think we should be cognizant of with regards to Cornell Health is that there are, my understanding from the student perspective, I think there's still some discussion about how mental health issues are being addressed across campus. So that's just another consideration piece. I Natalia, I don't know if it is, has there been traction?
Yeah, I can speak to that. As of right now, there will most likely be a mental health protest, I want to say, but it might be a march. They're still deciding, I guess, what to really label it as. But students are very much, not necessarily that they're unhappy with Cornell Health, but they're unhappy with the mental health facilities and the mental health resources that we have on campus right now.
Thank you for sharing that. So again, another consideration piece. Carrie?
Yeah, so I would like to nominate Brand Communications. It's part of University Relations. I'm not in that department, but I just wanted to recognize all the work that they do. They basically create and promote and evolve Cornell's brand through stories, storytelling, imagery, video, all the beautiful images and video that you see that make you proud to work at Cornell or make people want to come to Cornell or visit Cornell. That team of photographers and videographers, writers and graphic designers, they work like year round to do that storytelling and also to help units all across campus with their brand center, which is like a new, relatively new redesigned website, brand.cornell.edu, is where you can find downloads, color palettes, accessible color palettes. So they've participated in the sort of accessible Cornell movement in that way, but they both tell the stories and help other units to amplify their stories and elevate their staff and their students and researchers. I thought it was just a good time to nominate them since last year was inauguration and they worked on a lot of the elements, the visuals, the program, and all that you saw going into inauguration. So they also are doing a lot to tell the story of how Cornell impacts both New York City and New York State in general. Economically and through engagement, community engagement, and all that stuff. So that's my nomination.
Great. Thank you very much. Are there other nominations? Kevin.
I just got a quick question.
Yeah.
Does anybody remember what the first one was?
We're not signing.
So how come we just don't write something up and let us read it? I mean, this is something that's going, that the president's addressing and is presenting.
So just on some of the timing of the president's address, the first 15 minutes are for the employee assembly and to get folks settled. And we're going to use that time to do the staff recognition from the employee assembly. The president will not actually be presenting the award.
No, I understand that totally. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is, shouldn't we have something like formally written up for a nomination?
Yes, we should. So, but in doing that today was to get the nominations to the table. The okay. individuals that have provided the nominations, the expectation is, well, we've got one, the write-up, and two, we would like to ask the individuals that have made the nominations to do the actual presentation at the staff address. And if you're not comfortable with that, that's fine. Hey, we'll be doing it.
So when do we vote? So is this vote going to be at the next meeting?
We would like to try to have the vote today if possible.
That's what I'm saying.
But then you won't have the write-up.
Again,
Gina has
Gina.
I have one suggestion and then a couple thoughts. I think to Kevin's point, if it would be helpful, if the folks who made the nominations wanted to send a quick blurb, we could put up a Qualtrics
right.
For the assembly and have a close date by Friday or something, give you a chance to think about it, look at things in comparison,
yeah.
and then just send make sure that you all have the results by Friday, if that's soon enough.
That sounds great.
Yep.
Okay. And then I think, too, the Cornell Health and the facilities. Speaking as an office that often is embroiled in campus issues. Remember too that what this award does is it recognizes our colleagues. It's not really going to get involved in whether or not there are enough. I can guarantee you that the staff who support students and their mental health are doing a really great job, which is beside the point of whether they're under-resourced or they right. need further yeah. support. And same with the infrastructure. I mean, there were so many infrastructure projects, you could not turn your head one way or the other this summer and not see a project going on. Whether our colleagues were actually laying the tar or rolling the cable, there were our colleagues that were overseeing these projects to successful completion in time. So it's again, I'm speaking from really in the weeds on this because our office is pretty close to a lot of these conflicts. But I would ask you to consider the colleagues and your teams separate from any other campus climate issues. And maybe that's an extra opportunity to boost them in times when they're feeling really in the bullseye on particular issues or really trying hard to do the best, knowing that they're beholden to things that are outside of their control.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gina. Andrea?
So that being said, I think that I don't know if there is a formal nomination from the summer construction. I would like to nominate the project management team.
Okay.
Right.
Within facilities and campus services. And that's under a number of different folks, but those are small projects and large projects. So I would like to nominate that group that really were the folks that were scrambling to get everything done before the students returned.
Great, thank you very much. Chris?
I had a question. Do our bylaws allow for an online Qualtrics vote of the membership? I think they do, but I just want to double check.
Did you hear the question, Gina?
I did. I think it's certainly up to the body. That's a very good question. This isn't a resolution. It really is just trying to facilitate a
yeah.
discussion over that extends beyond the time of the meeting. So it's certainly up to the body, I would say.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, Chris, they do allow for online or via email sort of remote voting.
Thanks.
So at this point, we have the nominations of Cornell Dining by myself. We have CIT by Chris Barth. We have Brand Communications by Carrie. We have Cornell Health from David Heiner. And we have the project management team from Andrea. So if those individuals could provide a paragraph summary to Gina, and we will get that Qualtrics up so that everybody can read the description of why that individual has nominated that group, and we will go from there. Does that,
mm-hmm.
we good with that?
Can we
All
set
right,
a deadline, please, for the paragraph?
It's Friday. Oh, well, since it's Wednesday, if you could have something to Gina's office by this afternoon, that would be great.
Got it.
Yeah.
11:59
p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you. So we're going to go into committee reports, and I know that because our committees have not had an opportunity to meet yet, I'd like to turn it over to Chris Barth to provide an update from the UA meeting last night.
All right, so they do record the meeting minutes, so if you hear something that is strange from me, go back and look at the actual record. But as far as what their priorities are this year, the UA is looking to look at the code of conduct, look at the university health, and specifically the tobacco-free campus, as well as the infrastructure and carbon neutrality related to the North Campus expansion. Something interesting that came out of it towards the end and actually goes along the lines of what Kevin was mentioning with the committees is they got into a discussion about a committee that they sort of shuttered, which was the budget planning committee. They didn't have they did something similar where they condensed a lot of things and membership fell off and then they couldn't get the information that they needed. And so then there was a little bit of a historical dig to figure out what happened to that committee, what should we do? Let's go back to the record. And the Office of Assemblies, I believe, has like a pretty nice binder or digital file of those kind of information. So it's really a good idea to go with the let's try it before we start just totally, you know, pulling things apart. On the UA, there is representatives from the Faculty Senate. The Faculty Senate, Charles Van Loan is the top guy there. He was looking into the Faculty Senate's main priorities are a committee that they're putting together for the 2,800 no tenure faculty, and trying to figure out if you're a visitor faculty versus an adjunct versus a postdoc, and if you fall through the cracks, which I believe was something that we sort of discussed a little bit in the very beginning of our sessions or the end of last year's session. They're also looking at student accommodations because they believe that there are, you know, four different types of students. Ones that include disability or issues, I guess, that involve students, disabilities, athletes, religious observance, and Title IX. So they're looking into all the accommodations to make things easier for all parties on the faculty as well as the student side. They're interested in looking into research misconduct. There's more undergrads doing research and not enough guidance on ethical research. They recognize that the consensual policy 6.3 has been put into place, but they are still working to socialize what that actually means, because they, you know, when I say it like that, what does that mean to anybody who doesn't know what that actually means? And then interestingly too, they were looking at the time of the meeting. So their Faculty Senate meetings was something that was set up like 40 years ago. And now the fact that there's digital ability to do things and people have to be there, they're looking at changing their own bylaws about how can they fit it into an academic week instead of versus a whole semester was their scheduling. And that is the recap that I have from my notes.
Okay, great. And as a reminder, the members from the EA that participate are Chris, David Heiner, Linda Kopman, who is appointed by the EA to the UA, and Imani Allen. And then I have an ex officio chair. So
you're full voting. You're just because you're the chair.
I am full voting. Sometimes I feel that way though. All right. So next I'd like to ask if Gina would take some time to talk us through some of the Roberts rules pieces that we weren't able to get to during the retreat.
Sure. I actually had an exercise that if you don't mind indulging the latent theater person, you know, everybody's going to get a role. I have two different scenarios, and I thought rather than sort of get up here and talk or show you a PowerPoint, which are all online and they're all really good, that we would actually just go through what it might look like to entertain a motion, to have some active debate, to have somebody interrupt, to have a chair moderate the debate, and sort of get a sense of really what that flow looks like. There are some rules, and I do have a actually called a Robert's Rules cheat sheet. I guess this works. And the basic idea is, for those of you who are at the orientation or the reception this summer, it was conceived by an Army general, I think he was a general, when he was actually in a church meeting.
Yeah.
And it got so contentious that this gentleman decided, you know what, there should be a way that we can conduct whatever, however contentious the meetings are, okay, and still make sure everybody's heard in a kind and respectful way, and conclusions can be reached. So the book itself is quite detailed. Anything that you could want to think about what might happen in an extreme case, it's in there. Natalia is actually a parliamentary procedure. You know, you've gone through it. Parley Pro is something that you've studied and do. So it's nice to have you here because I'm a dilettante at best. But it does, all of the charters of the assemblies have a provision in there that anything that is not detailed in your governing documents will fall under Robert's rules. So it's important to at least have a basic understanding of how the process works. And then if you want to go any further than that, we have all sorts of additions. We have Robert's Rules for Dummies. We have online resources. Actually, one of the blogs that I participate in is Robert's Rules. It's a forum online that you can ask any question, and parliamentarians all over the world will respond to you with the detailed number, line number for the thing that you're looking for. So it gets that detailed. We're not going to get that detailed today. what I do have are, as I've mentioned, two different scenarios. So I'm going to just pass these out. Take one. That doesn't matter what it is. Just take it. It pass them down. Just take the whole stack. Sorry. And I just need to make sure that everybody has one. And if not, it may be that the Sun reporter and photographer get to join in as well.
Come on.
Thank you. Can the remote people have a role?
How many? We have Nancy and Carrie here. So.
And Sarah, and I think Karen.
Oh. Okay.
No, that's
so
there's,
oh, yeah. Four.
Karen. No, that's yes.
Just make sure everybody gets a distinct.
Join in.
Tarek needs one and I need one.
Oh, perfect.
There's four. There's four.
Chair.
No.
You can't be that one. But you can't have that one.
Okay.
Anybody have one?
We don't.
No. Oh, okay. I have.
You can just write something.
We can
just
be ordering.
Yeah.
Yeah. We
just
can
be ordering.
I've never protested in my life. I want to try.
We should protest
next week at the retreat.
You don't get this one.
Okay.
So. It's like the way it starts out, and you come to a meeting, you have something you want to say. There's a chair who facilitates the debate. In this case, we need who has number one chair, or who has a chair? Hey. All right, so hey, for this, for round number one, if you have a designation that has a number one, we're going to do that first. So if you have a designation for number two, just hang on to yours. There are some that don't have a number distinction. You're welcome to participate in both exercises. So what initially happens is somebody brings a motion to the floor. It needs to be recognized by the chair. The chair will go through the motions of entertaining the motion. So anybody have it needs to be seconded, and then there can be debate, and then there's going to be a vote. Things can happen while the debate is going on that the chair will have to remedy. There might be an interruption. There are different ways you can interrupt the discussion. If you look on your cheat sheet, you can ask for a point of information if you're just not quite sure what's going on, a point of privilege. All of these are different steps to make sure that, again, even the smallest voice has the opportunity, as equal as everybody else, to make sure that they're fully participating in the debate. So, how do we feel about this?
Good.
All right, so. Who has motion number one?
I move that we support carbon neutrality by doing away with cars on the campus.
I'm not in the debate. All right, so we have a motion on the floor.
I second it.
There you go.
Oh. All right, and so there was a second. Ostensibly, there would have been a call for a second by the chair, and now the chair can ask for no, it's open the conversation for debate on the floor. So what does everybody think about that particular issue that Bruce just brought up?
You're right.
Okay.
You're the chair. Okay.
All right. So, Craig.
Bruce, thank you for bringing that motion forward. But how am I supposed to get to work?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I think.
What don't you think?
I don't know. I just want to interrupt you. I want to see what the chair is going to do.
I object to consideration of this objection.
I mean to put you on the spot. Hey, I probably didn't give you enough information. What you want to do is if the idea is that everybody can have their say, make sure that if Craig has been speaking, it's not okay to be interrupted. So you would, in this case, make sure that but Taraki, and you can explain that we have a speakers list. You can be put on the speakers list. Then if Craig already has the floor, what's paramount is only one person can have the floor at a time. Mm-hmm. So why don't you repeat your... Yes,
Craig.
Bruce, thank you for bringing the motion forward, but I'm curious how you expect me to get to work. If I can't bring my car on campus and I live in Binghamton, where am I supposed to park? What am I supposed to do?
Okay, so.
So I can fly to campus. That will burn more fuel. Would you be happy with that?
I think it's a nice idea. I'm not sure how you're going to get to work, but it certainly solves or changes the has implications for parking. Maybe we have remote parking. And then we have a lot more space on campus because we have all those empty parking spots.
So I would want to know if we have these remote parking spots, am I going to get paid because I'm an hourly employee? Am I going to get paid from the moment I hit the remote parking lot or when I get to my office because that takes my extra personal time?
Will this include folks that have special needs and require transportation to their workplace, either due to a disability, or how do we consider that?
I know there are some folks that have neither one nor two on there that could be doing something this episode of fun that we're having.
Is this debate, right?
We're still in debate?
I mean, when you have debate on your on your paper, you're supposed to debate.
Okay. Yeah. Well, again, not to put anybody on the spot. The idea is, so this is, if this were, and maybe it will be, who knows, but if this were something that you were considering, how to make sure, if you have, does anybody else have thoughts on whether or not we should ban parking cars from campus?
I do, but I'm only a second.
Well, let's have everybody be an open debater, just for the sake of the exercise, so that if anybody does want to ask a question or engage in this particular conversation, you get a sense of what that's like with nothing at stake. So I'm going to turn it back over to you, Hey. So if you ask again and there are a number of hands, sometimes you actually write out a speakers list so that you can, everybody knows where they are in the queue. If not, you can just ask folks by name. So, I mean, if they raise their hand.
Okay.
Point of information.
So Chris and then Kevin.
I think that's a stupid idea.
Well, yeah, I want to know how I'm going to get to work in the winter. I mean, that's a lot of.
Wait, what do we think about somebody calling something stupid?
Point of order. Right?
Yeah.
Personal. I think that's.
Yeah.
Yeah. She would say that, or I would say that, because who are these instructions for everybody? Like, so I can't say point of order if I feel somebody was out of like line. So what would you do, or what the chair? So
I would decide if that was a personal affront, which I think so.
Then we censure Chris.
I'll go with point of information to Bruce. How did this idea come before the assembly?
A lot of people complained about cars. And then someone died last week.
Bruce is going for it.
Just one?
In a dark turn.
A lot of people died last week. Just not one. 12 people.
Run over by CU Transit.
Oh,
oh. Sorry. So, Anne Severity, you had. Did you raise your hand?
I did not, and that was my point. Is like, what happens when somebody just yells out? Because I didn't go through.
Yeah,
the
you had said Bruce, and then Kevin, and
yeah,
and just like I'm doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, on your little chart, it says, for point of information, that you can interrupt the speaker. Is what you're saying here. So I don't have to be, I can just power it out, point of information.
That was my plan.
I can interrupt.
Right?
You can.
Right?
Yep. I think, but that's not quite what Anne did. Anne interrupted without a point of information. Did you ask for a point of information or you were just interrupted?
I just threw out something in the discussion without waiting to be called on, you know?
Right. So, if you had the cue and Anne spoke out of line, how do we get back to, again, the sense of everybody, this should be orderly. And again, not to put you on the spot, it's recognize mm-hmm. that you're out of order, I'll put you on the speaker's list. And if she continues to be out of order, and then you can go all the way to censure. Anybody else have any particular thoughts on this radical notion that Bruce brought forward?
Not for Bruce, isn't it?
I do.
Oh, right.
Bruce,
you
can you?
Chris and then.
Oh, sorry.
Carrie, you go. I defer to Carrie.
Why, thank you.
Actually, in this case, you can't defer to Carrie. If there's a speaker that's already been acknowledged and given the floor, it would have, you could yield your time, but you can't reorder. So in some cases, like I was at the UA meeting last night, I'm not a member.
Right.
I had to have somebody acknowledge that and the chair asked if it would be okay if I spoke. That's yielding time to me because I would not have been on a speaker's list. So again, there is a formality, but it's a necessary formality so that you amongst yourselves aren't really doing much other than making sure that the chair acknowledges that you would like to say something. And then it's up to the chair to run through that order, unless she's got a particular interest, in which case she can yield her gavel to another officer to run the meeting while she speaks. Does that make sense? But in this case, you have two people that, however you decide to order them, just make sure that that's clear.
Okay. So it was Chris, but then he referred to Carrie. So I could say, okay, Carrie now? Okay.
Okay. Well, first, I would just say I have kids and I need to be able to leave work at any moment, basically, to go pick them up, take them to doctor's appointments, leave in an emergency. And what would be the guarantee as far as how long it takes me to get to this remote parking lot. I'd also ask what data you have or analysis to show what the impact would be on employees and the cost to the university.
Okay, so Craig and then Tara.
Oh, Chris first.
Oh, I thought.
Oh, did he yield your time or?
You can come back to me if you want. I forgot, are we in a motion right now? This is a motion that has been seconded and we're in that? Because I would go with I move that we table it. Or
I second.
or postpone the matter until the Committee for Transportation and Parking can evaluate this further, since the UA doesn't have enough information clearly. But this is a debatable thing based on what I just said, according to this thing. There was the second.
So second.
Okay. So the motion to table has been seconded. You sort of tossed in there, referring it back to a committee, which is a separate motion, but in this case, you're asking to table the motion. And does that make sense? That
what if we disagree? I don't want to table the motion right now.
There's a vote. There's actually a call for a vote. All those in favor of tabling?
Got you. Okay. So now
and you can, the chair can allow for dissent. It's at the discretion of the chair. Does anybody dissent?
Yeah.
And are we, how do you think we're doing, Natalia?
I think it's good.
Natalia's like, sure.
Rookies.
Thanks for having Natalia.
I just have to go to work, but it was, y'all are good. Y'all are good.
See you, Natalia.
So it's been, the motion to table has been table and a second. And so now the chair will, all those in favor of tabling.
Yeah.
Raise your placards or say aye or stand in front, do something.
Not enough.
Yeah. Yes. You have to call the whole vote. And all opposed?
Okay. All opposed.
And anybody abstaining?
District head.
I thought we didn't like Houston.
I don't. But...
So the outcome, and it's important then for each vote, the chair announces the result.
Yeah.
So in this case,
the result is we are going to table it.
Okay.
Question. So what do you consider an elected position that's not here for voting? Just a no vote or?
Oh.
So if we have.
You only count who's here and available to vote.
Based
on who's here.
Mm-hmm. So of those present, and if you are missing quorum, then
we can't vote at all.
Can't vote.
Because some of them I didn't think were that way. I'll come back to that.
Okay.
Because in our handy dandy little bylaws here.
Well, the parliamentarian is reviewing the bylaws. Let's move on and we'll do a quick second round, okay? So sort of get the, now that you're all juiced up and ready to go.
Did he want to do so? Sorry, just because we have like 7 minutes, so I didn't know.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know it was.
I know, you got so excited.
We can come back to
this. So excited.
We can do
you have 7 minutes.
These episodes anytime.
Real quick, just a reminder, those that made nominations, please get the paragraphs in by the end of today. And we do have a couple future event guests coming up. And you'll see that once we get the timings finalized, we'll let you know. But basically, we've asked for benefits. We've asked facilities to give us an update.
So we have Paul Streeter on.
Paul Streeter's coming up, yeah.
And then.
From budget.
From budget.
So those three.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Yeah. Well, but before we get back into Robert's rules, if I may talk about the event tonight.
Yes.
Oh, yes. So some of you may have not received an invitation, but you were supposed to receive an invitation to the president and provost reception at Statler Hall this evening. It's from 5 to 6. For those of you that did not receive an invitation, there is an apology from somebody.
That would be me.
Do we know how many did or didn't? Can we?
Yeah.
I have a seat.
Did.
Some.
Did anybody not get it? How about that?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Hey sort of not got it.
I can.
I was on
vacation. Oh, right.
She doesn't still receive it.
But I'm going.
But this is a new initiative. The office of the president herself has invited her cabinet, so the provost, the vice president, some of the deans, to just have a casual reception with the leaders and the assemblies. She met with the SA and the GPSA over ice cream last week.
Aww.
You all get wine and beer. But it's in the Taylor Room of in Banffy.
Yes.
So if you go upstairs through Banffy, and then there's there'll be signage. But there's no agenda. It's really so that we see really who you will be engaging with at the highest level. So again, chair governance. All of these resolutions go to people. These are the people that would be making the decisions, and it's important to get to know them so that when when you're doing the business and you're trying to figure out, you know, how far it goes, this is how far it goes. And it's also, the president has made a very important point of, this is an opportunity for her to thank you all for your volunteering to participate in shared governance. So it's, again, it's new. I'm thrilled that all of these folks are going to be in one room at the same time. It's never happened as far as I can tell. And there used to be formal affairs where they might stand on a stage and, you know, give dissertations about what shared governance is and their roles and how separate everything was. This is the opposite of that. This is just chit chat amongst yourselves, get to know people. And really, I hope if you haven't RSVP'd, just let me know so that we can just make sure that we can get a proper head count. But I have most of the folks that have already RSVP'd, I've got your names, but again, everybody is welcome and encouraged.
Tanya, any questions?
So the one thing I just want to put out for next year for feedback, it'd be really great if it wasn't on like the schools.
On what?
The
first day of school.
Yes. For those of us who are parents, like the first day of school is exciting, and so you want to be able to be there, and if we could avoid.
Slap them on the bus.
That's a great point.
So just for the future.
No, thank you very much, Tanya.
I don't have any kids anymore. Slap them on the bus. Come over. Come
So. And it's always good. I find sometimes the employees don't often go to all of these things, so we really need to try to make an effort to be there. Otherwise, we tend to just see the faculty more often than not.
It would be nice to have it during the actual work day.
That's an issue.
Yeah. Or even if it was at 4 o'clock and then people could come for a little while or something. I just think there are different challenges for staff than there are for students and whatnot. So it would be helpful to think about that a little bit.
What time?
Thank you very much. In the interest of time, we're going to preclude from doing the next scenario. Are there any questions? Any concerns that, all right. Yes,
sorry.
Ellen.
I actually have a question for Terry, if I'm allowed to backtrack. I don't know if I am.
Please.
For the president's address, is there any help needed from the EA? Do you need volunteers to do
everybody?
Anything? Like,
we will
or
be.
Just attend, or?
We will.
Go for it, Carrie. No.
Well, we're going to need some volunteers to, we'll want greeters, we'll want people during the QA portion, people helping with lunch potentially, although I've never done that, so I don't know exactly how many people Gina and Pam need, but we will figure out the like specific volunteer roles. But the expectation is that we all go and maybe even wear your EA shirt. So people can find name tags. I would say put it on your calendar, try to attend, and we'll send out a call for volunteers for specific stuff.
Pam?
Thanks, Ellen.
You members do not have name tags. If that's something that you would like to be ordered, if you can let us know, send us a message and we can order name tags. If you do not have a shirt, there are additional shirts in storage down in the basement, but we can get them in our office, and if you don't have the appropriate size, we could also order those as well. So the sooner you stuff in for that.
If you do not have a name tag and would like one, please email Pam before the end of the week.
I'll shoot one to asking. Yeah, no, I'll just, yeah.
You don't want all of us to email.
No,
you.
No, we're good. We're good. Thank you. Right.
I never got one.
Any other questions?
Just a quick question. If I want to just email you both, Gina and Pam, shall I just send you an email?
Mm-hmm.
I don't need to send you, like, go to any special address.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I was sending, like, I guess a couple of weeks ago. I don't want to send a message to all the employee assembly. I just want to reach you.
So assembly@cornell.edu is Pam and
right. So I don't know if that one, the one that bounced.
Oh.
In this case.
It went to the president.
Yeah. So it says my message was in limbo and it just got released, but I can double check that.
Okay.
Or I just can email you directly, you know, so I don't know what kind of
either if it's if you have a question about the email, certainly mail me email directly because that way we're not you know, trying to
all right,
fix
just,
that with a thing. But yeah, if there's a just a general request to either Pam or both of both of us, send it to assembly@cornell.edu, mm-hmm. and we both see that sometimes in multiple versions. So.
Okay. Thank you all very much for your time. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chris.
Nancy.
So there's a lot of excitement in my house. We are, and we might get one to our event tonight too. We're living it up here. Yeah.
I'll bring the kids to the stage to shine.
Thanks for your look. I love the hat.
Oh, thank you. That's part of my summer attire.
Yeah.
When it starts.
Yeah, a nice way to start a day.
So, and she just said, I'm ordering a lot. I've never ordered a
thing.
I
don't have to drive.
I suggested to my son
that
you want to go right?
Please take food if you would like. We would rather not have leftovers if you have someone who would benefit from it.
I got pictures of my two high schoolers backs just talking away to the schools. They were not
taking pictures. Do you want to email this to me?
I just emailed Mal too. So.
All right,
I'll see you guys.
I got my car.
I don't like that.
No, I never looked at the agenda.
Oh, God.
Oh, we don't do that
anymore. We're not. Today's our last day.
I've been checking.
Thank you.
What would have come from the present?
Add me to it. I guess.